The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
It's time for your weekly Road Crew Tip, brought to you by the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series and Ken Barr Films.
That's right. It is time. You guys know this. It's Monday night, Memphis Metal Mondays, but this is where the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series takes over because we've got some awesome stuff that we always share with you. And it's tips from behind the scenes for those of you, you know, whether you're going to be out on stage, whether you're going to be out on the road, whether you're going to be in the recording studio. And these tips are for those people that help make those things happen for those bands and those artists and those musicians and the performers and all that other cool stuff. You know, and this has been something that we've been doing for the better part of a year now. And of course, we've been having a lot of fun with this, and we've been having a lot of insight. We've been able to meet a lot of crazy, cool, and very important people, you know, along the way. And of course, probably one of the most important people to me that I've been able to meet along the way was my partner, Mr. Ken Barr, who helped me get this started right here on Radio Memphis. And, you know, those of you that know Ken, you know, we are the Road Crew. He's an author. He's also an independent filmmaker. He does a lot of crazy, cool stuff, and he has been behind the scenes and behind some of the coolest people on the planet. So you definitely don't want to miss this. In fact, I've got him on the phone all the way in from Florida right now. So we're going to see what Mr. Barr has to say about tip number 41, and we're going to see what he's gotten into. How you doing, honey? Hello?
Hey, darling.
Hey, baby. There you are. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I just had a big surprise and a nice little treat.
Oh?
Somebody didn't tell me they were on Barr Rescue.
Oh my God!
But hey, I know them people. What the heck? That was awesome.
Yes. Did you just see that?
Yeah, I have the Amazon Fire Stick, so I just kind of watch stuff on YouTube. You know. How long ago did you guys do that?
Look, okay, so, damn, that is awesome. Check this out. They were in the Memphis area, you know, this past fall, okay? And they were obviously, you know, because they were, you know, trying to tape a bunch of different shows and stuff like that, you know, for the upcoming season, you know, that had just happened. Yeah. And they were in, and believe it or not, they had reached out, you know, to us because they decided that they wanted some people that were kind of somewhat in the industry and somewhat, you know, as far as music and as far as media and as far as entertainment and stuff like that, to be someone as involved. And so they had reached out to Radio Memphis and to Rick and I, and to see if we would come in on one of the episodes and be the secret people that come, you know, the secret shoppers, you know, that come in and do our dig. And it was, you know, and it was really cool because if you listen to the station, you guys have figured out, you know, we've got a couple of, you know, commercials and stuff like that. You know, we do run for a particular place, you know, as far as down in Mississippi. And we were there and we got to be part of the team, and, you know, we got to see what they got to do behind the scenes and the whole huge setup. We got to see, you know, how they were able to transform and, you know, this entire, you know, bar, if you will, into an amazing, you know, place, you know, for everybody to come. And it's pretty insane because, you know, the, you know, Barr Rescue, what they'll do is they'll come and they'll definitely stop in to get those people that definitely could use the help.
Yeah.
And so and it was so funny because, you know, it was all incognito just to kind of see how far that would kind of go. And, you know, and I'm still getting messages, you know, from people and stuff. They're like, why didn't you tell us? It's like, it's because it was supposed to be a secret.
I hear you.
But yeah, we had to come in and, you know, order and it was interesting. I'm just gonna tell you, it was interesting. So yeah, you got to see that. That's funny.
It's a cool show, and it's given me, I feel so empowered when I'm out at a bar now, because I'll tell them, hey, the oil these fries were cooked in is dirty. I can tell. I watch Barr Rescue. I'm an expert.
And you know,
I pull that everywhere I go now. And say, hey, I watch Barr Rescue regularly.
You need to car rescue badge, man. That's what you need. Yep. Absolutely.
That would be cool, yeah. Pull it out with the old G-Man badge.
And it's funny because, you know, you don't, you know, and you're talking about behind the scenes, you know, this is the road tip and everything, but, you know, you talk about, you know, people that are, you know, putting together, especially, you know, an atmosphere and food and, you know, and all this, and, you know, all of this, you know, craziness along with entertainment, you know, and everything else. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, what, you know, these people have to pay attention to, and it's amazing what, you know, they have to, you know, be responsible for. And it's also extremely amazing what people will let fall through the cracks. And this show, now the one that you're watching is probably one of the most talked about ones for that entire season.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, so you need to watch it from front to finish. And, you know,
I watched it tonight.
Okay, you know, you watched that where old boy's bathing in the sink in the back?
Yeah, in the back in the kitchen there, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen worse, so.
Yes. Yeah, so it was called something else. Now it's called the Iron Horse, you know, in Mississippi. So, yeah. That one was, that one got rave reviews.
Wow.
But yeah, it was funny because, you know, we never know, you know, they'll reach out to us, you know, and the production company and stuff, you know, they were looking for some personalities and stuff to go behind the scenes on some stuff. And so we were able to take part and be a part of that. And it was, I will tell you, it was one of the coolest operations that I've seen, you know, because not only are they, you know, they've got all of these tents and they've got all the stuff, they've also got the whole setup, you know, that they actually, you know, contract out, and these people are like, you know, building stuff and redoing, you know, counters and redoing, you know, they're coming in and basically getting this stuff up and redoing the entire place. And so all of the, and they have X days to do this. So this is like home improvement jacked up, you know.
They're working all night. They're just, you know, to the metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was, yeah, it was past this past fall going into winter. If they had spent, you know, they went to several places, you know, in the Memphis and the Mid-South area. And so, yeah, they pulled us in on one. So, yeah, that was
awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my little secret stuff, just to see who shows up. And I didn't realize it was going to come up on a road tip, but thank you.
I'll open my mouth about any of that.
I know. You, however, sir, we're on tip number 41.
41. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was 41.
Right. Right.
Oh, actually, no, I don't remember back that far, so no, never mind. Tip 41. Well, Here's my tip 41.
Okay.
It's going to be about your work box, which is your toolbox, which is which is home when you're out at the venue.
Okay.
My preference, and I know work boxes have changed a lot. I see guys with these short little things that split in half. And back in my day, a work box was 2 foot by 2 foot, 5 foot high, 5 drawers, and a pop-up shelf on the inside of the door. It doesn't matter. Whatever you can work on, whatever holds your tools. But it's important to, A, have a work box and have the tools of your trade, but also to have a manifest of everything in your work box. And what I used to do is, you know, open a drawer, picture. Open a drawer, picture.
Oh.
Have everything there, because especially when you travel internationals, it's so easy. Well, A, if customs loves it if you have a manifest and they have a list of what's in there.
Sure.
That it instills trust in them, at least to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if your road case goes missing, you know, oops, sorry, France, we lost it.
Right.
At least you have the proof. You have everything there, you know, for insurance, for your claim.
Perfect.
So, like I said, list everything that's in there. And you know, keep it somewhere. Pictures are great, and you know, just keep track of it. And hopefully, you'll never need that stuff. But should you need it, you know, you can at least get the replacement value of what was lost. Because nothing worse than being out there without your tools, your toolbox. It's your gig. That's your life. That and the bus are home.
Yes, exactly.
The bus is home after the gig, and the workbox area is home during the gig. So.
You know,
it's funny how you kind of gravitate. You know, I got folding chair next to my work box. Why the real estate next to my work box is designated my space, I don't know, but...
But it's your space.
Yeah, and that's it, you know? and that's where your stuff is that you're going to need to get through a very long day.
So, you know, you mentioned that you've seen the quote unquote, you know, work boxes, you know, of the now age and, you know, all the guys that ring around with the, you know, the little ones that split open and stuff. Do you have a theory on yourself? Do you have a theory on how big a work box should be to contain what you think it should have?
When I first got started, I saw real work boxes and they were the size of mine and it was just the standard. And, you know, when I saw it, you know, you see the five drawers of varying depths, and you think, okay, well, I could stock guitar strings in that drawer, cables in that drawer, this will work, or drumsticks or whatever.
Right.
So it was more a matter of that was the standard when I came up, so that's what I adapted my work to. Whereas now these guys have the shorter ones, and... You know, you sit in a folding chair, these things split in half, clip back together, and you got this long table to work on a guitar. That's cool, too, you know? And work boxes, like anything, are always going to change. You know, somebody's going to say, hey, let's try this, or let's try that.
Right.
It's just, you know, whatever's a standard when you come up is what you're going to use, and you're going to make it work for you.
Right.
You know, I mean, I remember seeing my first one, and, you know, to have a work box made was in the neighborhood of $1,000, and that's just, you know, 1990,
wow.
1988.
Wow.
You know, that was a colossal amount of money for me, you know, even as a new guy on the road.
Well, yeah.
You know, when you scrape those nickels together, and you had that, you know, that wonderful new work box, and then I got to a point in my career where I was bouncing. You know, it was like, okay, I'm leaving this tour, I'm finishing it, and I have to be in Australia 2 days later.
Right.
And no one on earth is going to pay express shipping on my work box.
Right.
So I need a second one so I can have that slow boat into Australia as I'm sending the other one back home from this tour.
Right.
And I still have them. They're in my garage. I'll never part with them.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
If somebody's listening and they're like, okay, they just figured out that they're going to be starting, okay, and they're gonna go get a work box of some sort and stuff like that. Are you suggesting, you know, the first couple of things that they should be in that work box?
You know, if you're it doesn't matter if you're doing lighting, drums, or guitars. You need screwdrivers, you need basic hand tools. If you're going to be a guitar tech, you're going to need, you know, a certain amount of parts and tools that are exclusive to that.
Right.
It's just basically whatever discipline you are in, you're going to need just the basics to get you started. You know, a multi-tool that goes on your belt can get you through the day. Many's the time at my current job, that's all I carry. I don't carry a heavy bag because I can rip apart a moving light with a multi-tool that, you know, clips to my belt.
Sure.
So it's a matter of what you feel comfortable with, you know. If you're a guitar tech, you're going to need a couple of tuners. And whenever it comes to tools, that's the key word for me is couple. Because you don't buy one guitar tuner and hope it never breaks.
Right.
You buy three. And don't worry if one breaks.
Right.
That's just how it is.
Because you have all those backups and stuff.
I've still got half a dozen guitar tuners in my work box. It's all in the garage. You know, I'm ready to go. Anybody's listening, I'm ready to go.
Anybody needs somebody, I got all the tuners you need. And it's funny you bring up tuners because, you know, I talked to Batty last week. And, you know, his tip was, and it was for the young ones coming through the gate, you know, and getting started. And he was like, and he was so funny, because he was like, you know, I don't want to sound like, I don't want to offend anybody or anything like that. He goes, but, you know, first of all, you need to know your instrument. He goes, you need to know your equipment. He goes, you know, and he goes, and discover intonation.
Very important.
Right. And so the fact that you're bringing up the fact that you have all these tuners, you know, is fantastic, you know, and it makes absolutely perfect sense.
When I first started, and I was still working the clubs, I worked with a guitar player named Al Petrelli, who has, you know, gone on to fame and fortune.
Of course.
And I bought one of the old style Con tuners, which, you know, you're talking 70s now. I bought that from him just to have it as a backup for a backup, and I still have it.
Oh, wow. So,
and sometimes I feel guilty, like, you know, there's some poor little guitar tech out there that really doesn't have any tools, and here I am hoarding them all.
Well, you know, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something there for you on that. You know, maybe you need to take somebody under the wing and, like, you know, bequeath them something.
Like a Karate Kid moment.
Right, Mr. Miyagi. Come on.
That's it. Kenny Miyagi.
You know what? Come on, Kenny-san. You can do it. Yeah, Kenny-san. Kenny-san says, there we go. We're getting ready to start with something. You know what? There needs to be another. That needs to be, like, instead of, like, a full, like, road crew book, you know, it needs to be, like, you know, one of those, like, haiku, you know, poem books, and it's, you know, Kenny-san says, you know, and it's like, you know, one statement.
Like the words of wisdom.
Right. One on each page with, like, some kind of cool, like, you know, graphic or something, or picture with it and stuff like that. And, you know, that needs to be in your next one.
That'd be funny.
See?
You're like Confucius. You're like fortune cookies. I'll go into the fortune cookie business.
Exactly. Fortune cookies for roadies. There you go. It's a fortune.
I mean, it could be done. I know there's companies that will custom do, you know, the fortunes in the cookie, so, you know.
Well, really? You know them? I'm Asian, and I don't even know those people.
I saw it a couple of years ago. I forget why I was researching it. I get wild ideas here and there, and suddenly I have to know about something, and I found a company that would custom do fortunes in the cookie. Like, you know, you could give them to the people you don't like. You're like, yeah, you will not survive the night.
This one's for you. Kisses, love you, mean it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
awful.
Fortune cookies for roadies or something.
Yeah, fortune cookies for roadies, man. I don't know. There's a thing there for me. We need to do something with that.
I'm thinking.
Good deal. All right. So aside from fortune cookies for roadies, you're finishing up a book again. You're finishing up some stuff yourself.
Yeah, 33 Wednesdays is done. It is at the publisher. They're reviewing the files. I will proof it hopefully by the end of the week, and 10 days or so might be on Amazon. I'm hoping.
Nice.
You know, you can never tell. But, you know, within the next 2 weeks, that should be on. And, you know, that was a labor of love, and something sometimes I get an idea and it formulates, and I need to get it out of my brain to make room for something else. Because otherwise, it just kind of hangs around there like a hobo on the corner and won't leave. And I focus on it.
Right.
And I tell myself, I have got to get this out of my head. And the only way to do that is to sit and put it on the computer and then, you know, go from there. And,
right.
I wasn't even going to release this. This was something I was going to just do to get out of my head and set to the side. And I was talking to an old friend who actually is out doing shows with Kiss right now.
Okay.
And he said, there might be people that are going to find a connection with that. You really should rethink, you know, releasing it.
Aww.
And I gave it a bit of thought. And so, yeah, my friend David, thank you very much for the kick in the butt.
Nice.
We'll see what happens.
Nice. Very nice.
But I tell you, it's, you know, people don't realize you put it all out there when you release anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had people, like, review We Are the Road Crew and, you know, get personal. And I think I may have told you, you know, one of the reviews is, Simpleton falls into a career. That was their headline of their review.
Oh.
And it's like, I'm not a simpleton.
No.
I don't think so. And I didn't fall into a career.
No.
I wrote the book in a casual tone, a conversational tone. You're going to take me for an idiot. That's not cool. And you're talking about a person who's online hiding behind a fake username without the integrity to use their own name as they insult me.
Oh, my God. Yep. Really?
I had another review where they're saying I used way too many commas. And what was I thinking? How stupid I must be. I'm like, well, you know, if Microsoft Office doesn't pick it up, I'm sorry, it's all good.
I'm fine with that. And it actually wound up doing really, really cool because some very cool people wound up picking it up and some very cool people thought it was awesome and did some major reviews and stuff like that as well. And so, you know, and you're talking about you were kind of on the front end of really kind of touching on a subject of being behind the scenes. You know what I mean? When everybody was kind of toying with it, and it was that whole precursor of, yeah, that's cool, you're the guitar tech, but tell me about Alice Cooper, and what was it, blah, blah, you know, and it was like, no, this was like, this is what we do, and, you know, and then everybody kind of really started little bit by little bit, you know, really started jumping in on that idea, you know, and then you've got groups and organizations like the BBC, you know, trying to make shows out of it. You got, you know, HBO that really screwed up that whole idea, you know.
Oh, good Lord, was that show horrible.
Was it not, you know, and you want to talk about, you know, making it into like a serial drama, you know, based upon, you know, and I'm even going to say it, you know, throwing the whole drama girl thing, you know, with the relationship thing on it. It was like, no, but, you know, there are other people and there are other, you know, networks and things like that that really took that idea and go, you know, there is a story behind all of this because these people are the magic, you know, behind all of these fantastic shows and all these presentations and all these records and, you know, all these, you know, festivals and, you know, and all of these, you know, big, you know, events that, you know, had these people not did what they were supposed to do, you know, with those artists or with those performers or those entertainers look as amazing as they do. And ultimately, which is why you and I even got together, because we both were like, hey, let's do this, you know, let's continue and talk to these people. So, you know, in the right frame.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so good job. I'm so proud for you. I am so proud for you.
Thank you. I'm proud. You're a TV star.
Oh, shut up. I'm some bar rescue, man. Dude, really?
You know what? I'm so obnoxious just as a viewer when I go to the local bar. Could you imagine? It'd be like, hey, I'm on bar rescue. I'll show you how to make that drink. That would be horrible. Man. I know it.
It would. But it was very cool because, you know, then they've got the mixologists and they've got the people that come in and show them how to do everything afterwards and stuff. And that was cool, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You definitely get some skills. And I've seen the change.
Yeah. But, so it was good. I'm glad.
Like I said, I love that show. I like the show, period. But I love the fact that I can be obnoxious with it as well.
Oh, trust me. That's the lair that everybody goes for, and I totally get it. Good deal. Well, listen, baby, I know you need to get some rest. You know, we're going to catch up at some point. I'm so proud for you for your book. So you're saying, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, we'll be looking for stuff from you on Amazon?
Yeah, probably about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. As long as the proof comes back okay.
Okay, just keep, like I said,
yeah, I'll keep you in the loop, I'll let you know.
Yeah, keep me in the loop and stuff like that, because I'm definitely going to mention it to everybody once I know it's for sure, like, you know, green light, go, and we'll make sure everybody goes and snatches a copy, you know, because I know a bunch of people are really excited about that. Okay, good deal. Tip number 41, so yeah, very good tip, making sure that you get, you know, accountable for your, not only have that toolbox and have that workbox, but making sure that you actually take that inventory. Right? So, yep. Good stuff. Very good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk soon, sweetie. You get you some rest, okay?
All right, darling. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, baby. All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ken Barr himself right here on Radio Memphis for the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Road Tip. Tip number 41. And yeah, for you techs and stuff, you know, when you're talking about, you know, your road, your actual case, you know, that is home base for you, and that's where your world is. That's where your world is going to live. And if you're going to be out rolling, touring, traveling, and things like that, just like everybody else, you've got to keep accountable for what you've got going on. So it's definitely, definitely a fantastic idea in order for you to take inventory, take pictures. It's so easy because we have cell phones in our hands all the time anyway. So why not take those pictures and actually have a verified document of what you've got going on? In case something happens, you'll be able to account for it.
Tune in every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Central to Radio Memphis for your weekly tips in the studio, on the stage, and out on the road. It's all part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series, and it's only on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.